Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. We are blessed to be in your homes each week to reveal God's mercy, grace, and everlasting love. Thank you for your ongoing comments. We enjoy reading them each day and are thrilled to see all of the online communication through our website at cwh.org. One message sent to us reads, "My family and I are blessed by your ministry and have made it a Sunday tradition to watch Pastor Salem and CWH. Thank you for reaching out to people in prison, the shut-ins, the sick, and the troubled." Another online comment reads, "Thank you for continuing the work that Pastor Salem started. His sermons and services are a true testimony of how much he loved Jesus." My dad's message today, titled "Elisha, Great Prophet of God," gives us lessons from this man who was a great example of following and serving the Lord. We hope you will be uplifted by today's service. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a sermon today on Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha. He was a great prophet of God. And boy, there are some good lessons to draw from his life. So maybe you can call a friend or two and say, "I think you might have a decent sermon today. Tune us in." And then you can call afterward and say, well, what do you think? And I hope it'll be a good report, but it'll be whatever happens, Lord knows. So we're looking at Psalm 139 as our opening verses. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee." And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you. You're such a great God, and that your eye is ever upon us, and that you help us, and you know when we have our needs, and you know when we have our needs, our sorrows, and you know when we're lonely, and when you know when we're just don't know which decision to make. And so we just thank you that you all know all about us, and we can put ourselves in your hands by accepting your dear Son and then leaning upon you, and you'll carry us through, you'll help us through. So in this service, may all eyes be on Jesus, wonderful, beautiful Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Jan's going to sing a song, I know you're going to like it, "On Wings of Eagles." God bless you.
To the Lord, my refuge, my rock in hope.
Isn't that wonderful to know the dear Lord Jesus, this wonderful God in heaven, will help us through the hard times of life. He'll help us all the way through life. And we can lean upon Him and He will never fail us. The arm of flesh will fail us, but not the arm of God. So wonderful to know Jesus and to walk with Him and have the Heavenly Father watching over us. God bless you, Jan. Well, we have some letters, some wonderful letters, and we just want to thank all of you for writing. And I've said it so many times, we read every letter, and if it's a spiritual question, something to do with the soul, we'll answer every letter we get. And so we hope that you'll write to us. I'm going to give the address in just a few minutes here. So get your pencil and paper. And so some of the letters we get, we want to share with you. And then we hear from people, and they like to hear the letters, and they appreciate it. One lady wrote in and said, well, I've wanted to ask some of those questions, but I just thought people would think I was dumb or something like that. Didn't get around to it. Some say can't get around to it. And so they appreciate the letters. So we're just glad to share them with you. So the first one, all listen to this one. Coon Rapids, Minnesota. As financial contributors to the Christian Worship Hour, we wouldn't mind at all if Pastor Salem wanted to get a red zippy sports car. Maybe drive a much younger woman around, a granddaughter perhaps, just to get the tongues a-wagging. Well, what brought this on? Well, I'll tell you, I don't remember what I say from one day to the next. But I said, you know, when you give a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, we're not going to be using it on extravagant things, because we have the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check and audit all of our books. And I said, so you don't need to worry about me getting a sports car. And then I says, you know, 96 years old, getting a sports car, you think I fell on my head or something? And so that's what they're writing about. We don't care if you get a sports car and you can take your granddaughter, young granddaughter, and then people will talk. Well, boy, they'll talk, don't you? That's one thing you got right on. And they'll talk till the sun goes down. Here's Wichita, Kansas. Thank you for bringing us closer to God. God bless all of you, a found soul. And what did Jesus say? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he talks about the lost, he's talking about the soul. It doesn't matter, you know, if you lose your life, that's just it. But you leave your soul, lose your soul, then you lose eternity. That means you lose your soul in hell. And Jesus came to seek and to save those people because there's a lot of them that haven't accepted Jesus. And that's what the Christian Worship Hour is all about. Over and over, we preach the word and we say, come to Jesus. You have to receive Jesus. You must be born again. And the way to be born again is to accept Jesus into your heart. So that's what we pound over and over. And we believe that all around the world, multitudes are coming to Jesus. We just believe that. We're just going to claim that. Here's Vancouver, British Columbia. On another note, last week you surprised me when you talked about knowing some bull riders. Not really sure why I was surprised, just unexpected, I guess. I used to be a rodeo competitor and then a rodeo clown bullfighter. It was only recently that I started watching your broadcast, and your ministry has been a blessing. And, you know, I was raised in western South Dakota 96 years ago. And we had bull riders and we had cowboys. And I always respected them. And I got to know some who are dedicated Christians. And I'm going to read a letter from one of these men that was a rodeo rider in the Bronx in the bull riding. And he went to be with Jesus and he dictated a letter to his wife, and she wrote it for him. I'm going to read it in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. But we pray for the bull riders, we pray for the sheep herders, we pray for every lost sinner, doesn't matter. But I just was raised among these people and just kind of, I just love them. And I'm going to tell you a little secret about them. They aren't half as tough as they make themselves to be. They got a heart and a soul just like you and I do. Here's Oskaloosa, Iowa. How do I get rid of this intense, insane fear of spending eternity in hell? I believe, but there's always that great fear of eternity. Anything you send would be helpful. This is the easiest letter to answer there is on the face of the earth. They say, how can I get rid of this intense, insane fear of spending eternity in hell? I'll tell you how you can get rid of it. Just believe Jesus. That's all. Don't have to stand on your head. You don't get it baptized. Nothing. Just believe Jesus. You see? And this is what Jesus says. Say, take for instance, and it's the New Testament is full of it. Let me give you one. It's my favorite verse. It's John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now listen to what he says. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right that minute, the minute you believe, you have. He that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. But he's not done. Then Jesus says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, he will never go to hell. And then he closed by saying, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24. So if you believe Jesus, if you believe God, you don't fear eternity. That's it. So just pray that your faith will be strong. And don't blame God if you can't believe, because God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you can believe if you want to. You believe other people and you believe what people tell you. Believe what God says. That's all there is to it. Wish I could make it complicated, but it isn't. Here's Rochester, Minnesota. I am happy to have listened to Pastor Salem. I am also glad to see the absence of the $10,000 Rolex and the necktie that is usually worth more than I live on in a month. Money is, of course, necessary to pay for airtime, but as seed, I do not agree with such a doctrine. Jesus said seed is the word of God, and he's right. He's right on. Seed is the word of God. That's what I see you doing, sowing the word. I would never send money to TV preachers. However, I am convinced that you're blessed, humble, and purifying and uplifting ministry is worthy of support. Please accept my widow's mite along with my fervent prayer that God will keep you on the air in Jesus' name. Well, I can tell you, you don't need to worry about the finances of the Christian Worship Hour, because we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books and they go through it with a fine-tooth comb. We just got through about a month ago. And they go through every bill we pay and every check we write, and it is a headache. They're under feet for about 3 weeks, but they check everything from beginning to end, and they've given us a good bill of health. So you can be sure that we take all the money, we give it, make a receipt, and we spend it all for what we say we're going to do. We got it in the budget. And it's to buy radio and television time as a whole. We use it for other evangelical purposes, perhaps, but we use it always cleared by this audit. And so don't worry about the money. It's going where it should go. Here's Hampstead, Maryland. Thank you for your ministry. It is perfect for me when I can't make it to church, or even if I'm able to watch it a Sunday evening. And so this is a shut-in. And we hear from so many people, they just can't get around anymore. They can't travel. They can't get it going. Some of them are in bed. Some are in wheelchairs. Some are just unable to navigate. And so I'm 96, and I tell you, those old bones, they're not like I was when I was young. And I'm not jumping rope or anything like that. I'm going to give you the word on that. Now, God's been good to me with a walker. I can get around. But some folks just can't make it. And so we are their church. and they worship with us. And we're so happy about that. And one thing we have a little publication called The New Song, and it is a Bible study. And this month of August, the Bible study is on pictures of the Bible. Like in the Bible, there's the sword, or there is a mirror, or there is the washing of water by the word. And so we're using a lot of these different illustrations of what the Bible is compared to, and it'll bless your soul. And you say, oh, I want to subscribe to that. Does that cost, most of these things cost about $30, $40 a year. How much does yours cost? Zero. Yeah, we are to send it free and postpaid. And I don't know, we might go broke doing it, but we just don't charge. We just send it out. We send it to prisons. We send it to retirement homes to use it for Bible studies. And so you write and say, I'd like to have the new song. And every month you'll get a new Bible study. Here's Olivet, South Dakota. Now I want to tell you something. This is a cowboy who's dying. And his wife writes, and I've called him and talked to him, and he's right to the last days. And he has his wife writing this letter. This is what he writes. I'm writing this for my cowboy husband who made his 8-second ride, and Jesus is picking him up. I'm going downhill now. He's talking. I'm going downhill and can't keep going. I praise God for keeping my pain down. I'll meet you in heaven and we'll talk things over. God holds my hand. Please know we keep you and your staff in our prayers. We'll continue to support you. God bless you, your old cowboy friend and wife. Well, this man's name was Brian. He lived at Olivet, South Dakota, and he's gone to be with the Lord. Since he wrote that letter, God's taken him home. And another cowboy that died that we wrote to for many years, about 10 years, talked to on the phone, Lee Clausen, Evansville, Wyoming, went to be with Jesus. And both of these men, now these are the old tough cowboys, and this is how tough they are. When they're about to die, and I close our telephone call, I've called them both, I said, Lee, I love you. And he says, Pastor, I love you too. Sounds like a couple of old women, doesn't it? But these are cowboys, but they got a heart just like you have. And I'm telling you, they're not half as tough as they put on. But they got to be kind of tough, you know, to scare the bulls. But I don't think they scare very much either. But they are human beings, and Christ died for them, and they love Jesus, and they love their wife, and they love their children, and they're just like we are. And here's two of these men went to be with Jesus. And I'm not a cowboy. I'm a sheep herder, so don't put me in that same bunch. But it's like the Jew and the Gentile. The cowboy and the sheep herder never had a thing to do with each other. But in Jesus, we're one. Jesus does that. Well, let's see. I've got a letter here, last one, Tampa, Florida. It's amazing to see what a small ministry is doing all over the world. With God, all things are possible, right? Well, that's exactly right. We're in South Dakota, small town, about 25,000. Chamber of Commerce, I guess they say 30, but we'll say 30, you know, why argue with them? About 30,000 people, way out here in South Dakota, all heading up toward the Canadian border. And most people don't even know where South Dakota is. And here we are preaching all over the world. And you say, well, how can that be? It just doesn't make sense that you'd be able to do that. I'll tell you the secret. The secret is in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. Let me read it to you. And this is the reason that God is using us all over the world. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And then he says why he does this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And what God does, He takes the humblest and the lowest and the most unknown and the most feeble people, and He blesses them all over the world. And that He does that so that we have to say, we can get up and brag how good we are, but we know we're not that hot, see? And so it's all God. And God says, I'm going to take some puny little old things, and I'm going to work with them all over the world with television and shortwave radio, because I want them to see God is in charge, and they wouldn't draw their breath if I didn't give them to them. And that's exactly right. All glory to God. That's what the Christian worship hour is all about. But we have to have your help to carry it on. And so God knows, He says, we're just counting on God's people. We're not underwritten by any church or denomination or corporation. We're dependent on the people of God, the Christian. And God tells us, He says, that if you just preach the word, I'll support it. I'll pay the way, and I'll pay it through His people. And so what you need to do is to write to us. And if you want to get the new song, we'll send you that. And if you want to send a gift, we'll appreciate that. The Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send it by internet, a gift to internet, you'll get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send it to us that way, and we'll get it from any part in the world. You use your money wherever you're at, Norway or Sweden or wherever you're at, and you just put that in, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our way. And we need to have your help. We have to have your help. And so you just say, now, dear God, is this something I should support? Is this something you want me to put my tithe money into? And you pray about it. And if He says no, then don't send it. We don't want it. But if He says yes, then you say, yes, Lord, what shall I send? And that's, and He'll, and we've been almost 40 years now. God's provided our way all the way. And a lot of those who started with us 40 years ago are now in glory, reaping their reward. And God's raising up new people all the time. So we're counting on you, Christian Worship Hour, all of you people on internet, on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll thank you. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And if you do that, we'll have no problem carrying out His mission. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for those who are helping us in this ministry. Bless them and bless Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. Thanks you for your contribution to the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour. Appreciate her service so much. We're reading from 2 Kings chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I know that because we hear from people quite often, and they'll say, well, we get all dressed up to go to church, and we sit before the TV, and we have our Bibles. And one of them says, and I also have a cup of coffee. Well, in some of these churches now, they take coffee into the pews. We never dreamed of that when I was a child, but Lord knows what they'll do now. But it doesn't matter. You just get your Bible out, and we're like 2 Kings chapter 2. Now here, Elijah is going to go to heaven in a chariot of fire. And Elisha is the one prophet who's going to follow him. And this is what it takes place. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee. And he's talking to Elijah, and don't get the two names mixed up, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha is the old man. Elisha is the new man, Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and greet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And so now we're going to pray, excuse me, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Turkey. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this great prophet Elijah, and now he's completing his ministry, and the new prophet, the young man Elisha, is going to follow. And we're going to look at Elisha, and dear Lord, help us to draw a lesson from him, that we will become stronger and better Christians. And Lord, we're praying for our dear brothers and sisters in Turkey. Some are giving their lives, some are dying for the faith, and so we pray you to bless them and to help them, and especially those left behind. And Lord, just to help them to know that you will never leave them or forsake them. And dear Lord, help us as Christians to be willing to suffer for you if needs be. But we want your will to be done at all times. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Barb's going to sing, Lord, Feed Your Children. God bless you, Barb.
My vessel is empty, but once I had plenty, my soul is barren and dry. Somewhere flows a fountain beyond. Children, as we stand here willing to eat filled with honey, where the rivers are running. Very soon now, I'll taste and I'll see. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing.
Well, thank you, Barb. That's a great message. The Lord will always provide. He'll never run short. You can always lean upon the Heavenly Father. And it's a joy to walk with the Lord and have Him bless and to help us and reward us as we walk with Him and give us joy and peace. Now we're going to be thinking about Elisha, the great prophet of God. And so now you're going to have to stay awake for this sermon or you're going to be all confused. Because we're going to be talking about Elisha and Elijah. Elisha and Elijah. Because Elijah is the old prophet and he's going out. And Elisha is the new prophet and he's coming in. And so we'll have to use the two names. But if you pay attention, you'll get more out of the sermon. So the more we read about Elisha, the more we come to love and admire him. And he was a man through whom God worked in marvelous ways. And he was filled with the Spirit of God, so he was able to perform miracles. But the one or two of the two, the miracles and all the rest, his tenderness and his kindness and his mercy just really stand out. And he did so many good things that no wonder King Jehoram asked of Gehazi, his servant, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done." And I really don't suppose that any character in the Old Testament had more interesting and thrilling experiences than Elisha. He had the one more striking events in his life than others. It just seemed there were so many. And I remember him as a boy listening to mother tell about Elijah. And Elijah was on Mount Carmel and how the false prophets were there. The prophets of Baal, and he was on Mount Carmel, and he's going to challenge the prophets of Baal. And so they builds the altar, and the fire comes down, and what a great, beautiful story that was. And Elijah was a hero, and I just loved him. But then you come to study about Elisha. He's the one who's going to follow him. And we can see that there were so many good things about him, and he did so many wonderful things. For instance, even the proverbs associated with his name are outstanding. And more proverbs are written about or associated with him than any other Old Testament person. For instance, from Elisha comes the prophet's chamber, or the widow's cruse of oil, or the mantle of Elijah, or the school of the prophets, or I dwell among mine own people. And so he was really an outstanding man, and there was much written about him, and he did many great things. But he exemplified the Spirit of Christ even before Jesus was here. He just was a man who had a tender heart and a loving heart, and so he followed the Lord and served the Lord. And so the Shunammite woman was right when she told her husband, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually." And sure enough, she was right. He was a holy man of God. For one thing, Elisha had a great heart. You see that over and over again. in his ministry. And you see that the day he was called to the ministry. And it opens with Elisha, and he's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And it's the springtime, and they're getting ready for the fields. And he's out there plowing in the fields. And all of a sudden, suddenly, while Elisha is working there, somebody steps up behind him, and it's Elijah. And Elijah takes his mantle and throws it over Elisha's shoulders. Now, the mantle was just a loose, sleeveless garment worn over the shoulders, and just a mantle. And Elijah comes, and he throws it over Elisha's feet, over his shoulders. Elijah throws it over Elisha's shoulders. And by that, he was saying, Elisha knew exactly what that meant. He was passing the mantle of the prophethood from Elijah to Elisha. He knew exactly what it was. And when that happened, when that mantle was put on his shoulders, Elisha knew that he was no more his own, that he belonged to God. He could now not live for himself any longer. He could live only for God and for others. He knew that no matter what the cost or the price was involved, he knew that that mantle was called upon his shoulders. It was a divine calling from God. And that's why Elisha, look what he did. He took his oxen and he killed them all. And he took the plow, which was all out of wood, and he made an altar out of it. And then he made the wood, he broke it all up, and he burned it to make the sacrifice. He was kicking all that he had, his oxen and the instruments that he used for plowing, they're all put away. And what he was saying is, I am answering in the affirmative. God has put that on my shoulders, and I'm going to be his prophet, and I accept it wholeheartedly, fully. And then he answered in the affirmative, and he's decided that he would just get rid of his animals and get rid of his plow and everything. In other words, he was burning the bridges behind him. There was no way for him to go back to plowing again. And he's just like, we sing that song, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And when you follow Jesus and you put your hand to the plow and you say you're going to follow Jesus, there's no turning back. And through that all, but all these exciting things are going now. That great prophet of God is there. He's put that on his shoulders. He's had that sacrifice and everything. And what does he do? What does Elisha do? He thinks about his father. And he says, oh God, can I go to kiss my father goodbye? You see, he was a gentleman. He was a tender-hearted man. He was kind-hearted. And if you're tender-hearted, I'm going to tell you something. They'll take advantage of you, but let them do it. Always be tender-hearted and loving toward other people. And don't strike back. And don't draw back and crawl into your shell. And Elijah, he didn't do it. He went and kissed his father goodbye, and he never went back to farming again. So there's so many reasons I love Elisha, and I think that homely thing of him going to his father is one of them. He's just such a tender-hearted, loving man. Elisha had a great calling, so then he was called of God, and the answer was to Elijah's prayer, because you remember, Elijah was really disappointed, discouraged, and he was under the juniper tree, and he wanted to die because, as he said, I am not better than my fathers. It is enough, O Lord. Take away my life. He wanted to die. And God says, no, and remember, he gave him something to eat. Angel gave him some food and something to drink and gave him strength. And so this he carried on, and now he's carrying on, and he's giving this, passing it on to Elisha. God had his eye on that young man long before he ever got there. When Elijah was under that juniper tree, God could see this young man over here in the Jordan Valley, and I'm going to choose you to follow him. And when the time came, he came in and he followed. And so I think today, many young people listening in, maybe God is going to put that on your shoulder. God is preparing you for some great work for him. Be always open to the Lord, always listening for the Lord. And you're not going to have a mantle cast upon you, but you'll have something come into your heart like came into my heart. And I knew I had to preach. I knew God wanted me to be a, I didn't know if he wanted to be a pastor or a missionary. And when we got to Bible school, the first year we had a general course, and then you had to declare, are you going to be in the mission field or are you going to be a pastor? And I prayed and I felt to be a pastor. And I didn't hear voices and see bells and lights or anything like that. But I knew in my heart that's what I had to do. And that's what Elisha knew. And so he followed the Lord and walked with him. And just remember this, it was very special. And after the casting of the mantle, Elijah wishes to be alone. And so he goes, and because the time for his translation has come, the time for that him leaving this world and going to the other world, that time has come, and Elijah knows it, and he wants to be alone for a while. Elijah lived alone, and I guess maybe he wanted to die alone. I don't know. He was a lonely man. And so he wants to be alone, but Elisha will not listen to it. And Elisha says, no, I'm going to be with you, and I want to follow you, and I want to be with you, and I want to see what's going to happen, and I want to have your mantle. I want it to be me, and I want the power that God's given you. I want him to give it to me, and I'm going to be with you. And so they parted the Jordan River. And Elijah casts and puts his mantle, and the river opens up, and they walk on dry land. And then Elisha sees that, and he begs Elijah, give me that mantle. Give me a double portion of what you have. And Elijah tells him it's not his to give. It's that's up to God alone. And so there they go. And they walk over over this Jordan River. And then they're alone, those two of them. And you can just imagine this young man, Elisha. And you see this older man, Elijah. He's had a hard life. He's lived a lot in the desert. As he's old and he's tired. And so here he is. And then he sees these horses coming, prancing horses in flames of fire. And they're coming right out of heaven. And the prophet carried away. Then he saw him out. Prophets carried away into heaven. And oh, Elisha cries. And he cries out in wonder and amazement and loneliness. And he cries out and he says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then we see Elisha's eyes fall back to the earth on which he must live and he must labor. And he picks up the mantle of the great fallen man of God, Elijah. And he takes that mantle and he goes to the river. And in God's name, I ask you to part. And the waters parted. And Elisha knew, yes, God was with him. God was calling him. And the power that Elijah had, Elisha would also have. And so Elisha goes, and he goes with a great message. He went back to the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah. He struck the water. It opened up. He passed through. And then he says, Elisha said, it was the answer to the prayer. Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? And he was with Elisha. And he walked over and he had a message to preach. So he goes out to preach that wonderful message. And it was given with great power. And God put his blessing upon Elisha so that he could do great and wonderful things. And this great, he had a man of character. And God wants us to be men and women of character, to stand up for something, to have principles, to have a fear of God and a dedication to God. And you don't need to be a preacher or a prophet or an evangelist or anything else. God wants every follower of his to have that same dedication that he had. And so Elisha goes out, and he's not afraid of any man. And the preachers that fear people, oh, I feel sorry for them. I was found out a long time ago. Don't try to please people. Don't try to please people. Easier to please God than it is to please people. And some will turn and you won't have them. And Elisha had to learn that lesson. And so the first test he has Naaman come. And this member, you remember, this is a general from Egypt. And he has leprosy. And he comes to Elisha to be healed of this leprosy. And so he comes with his entourage, and he's got all of his people, and he's got his horses, and he's got his chariots and all. And he comes to the house of Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. He sends his servant out. Here's the general. And he sends a servant out, and he says, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And he is mad as a wet hen, the Bible tells us. Behold, Naaman fumed. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place to recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so like a spoiled child, he turns and goes away. He's going to go away. And they finally talk to him. And you know the story, how he goes to the Jordan and he's healed. But the point I'm bringing out is Elisha doesn't fear it though the king of Israel is there. He doesn't fear it though the general of all of the Syrian armies is there. And they were a mighty force at that time. They could have crushed Israel. Elisha doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't care. He's not a respecter of men. And that's what the man of God and the woman of God, the servant of God, we're all his servants. And you don't respect people and you don't give them precedence over somebody else. And the poorest is just as good as the richest and the most powerful. Oh, it's wonderful to serve God. And he blesses and he helps us along the way. And so he had not only great power, but he had great faith. And he could just talk about that. One time, the Syrian army had him surrounded in the mountains of Dothan. And the servant was in utter despair, and he cried out, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And Elisha told the shaken young man, fear not, for they that are be with us are more than they that be with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes of this young man that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And behold, the young man said, "The mountains are full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha." What a marvelous revelation that was to that poor, terrified soul of a boy. And Elisha never batted an eye. And there he was. He says, those that are for us are more than those who are against us. And the young man couldn't see it till God opened his eyes, but they were there. And God's angels are with all of us, is with all of his people. And if we just trust him and lean on him, you can't see it with the eye of the flesh. But if you had spiritual eyesight, you could see those holy angels watching over the people of God, helping the people of God. Don't be afraid and do whatever God calls you to do. And don't be afraid to stand alone. And that's exactly what he did. And so if somebody said this, thousands of spiritual beings walk abroad, both when we wake and when we sleep. And one day our eyes will be fully open and we will discover that this wonderful God had those all around us all the time. We have stories of missionaries who they came to destroy. And in one story, they talk about a missionary many people came to fight him, but they all stood there and they didn't touch him. And later on, they talked to the chief, and the chief of the tribe says, "We were there, but our place was surrounded with soldiers." God is real, and that's what he does. And so Elisha, ordered by, he just had tremendous power, and he was unafraid, and he was unashamed, and he moved on. Mighty works of God. And even after he died, he left a great, great power behind him. Because we read about in 2 Kings chapter 13, you may want to read it. Elisha now has died and he's buried. And sometime after his death, there's a funeral procession. And they were on the way to the cemetery. And on the way to the cemetery, suddenly there were a band of Moabites. They were inviting the country as a band of marauders, and they made their appearance. And unable to reach the cemetery, the bearers cast the body of their friend into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the dead man's body touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood to his feet. So the mighty power of Elisha goes on after his death. But that God does that for all of us. What does he say in Revelation? "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them." And I can see in my own life how that those who have gone on before me have left me good examples, and those who have helped me and stood with me on the way, they have helped me, because after they were gone, my mother, still I think of my mother, I think every day. 96 years ago, And I remember her all the time. And after the death here of Elisha, his influence carries on and helps on. And that's the way you can be, and I can be, and you don't have to be an evangelist, and you don't have to be a prophet, and you don't have to be a pastor. You can be a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God, and the whole thing rests on you just as much as it does to anybody else. I think leaders are going to have more to account for, but we have no closeness to God or interway to God that you don't have, all of you. But you can't find God until you have Jesus. You can't talk to God. You can't draw your strength from God until you have Jesus. You must be born again, Jesus said. If you want to be in my kingdom, you have to accept Jesus Christ. You have to accept him. And you say, oh, I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to be a child of God and a servant of God like Elisha. But how do I accept him? As many as received him, Jesus said, to them gave he power to become the children of God. They weren't children of God till they received Jesus. So how do you receive Jesus? Well, how do you receive anybody? You open the door and tell them to come in. And so you say to Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you and serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer, you're a child of God. And if you made that prayer, you write to us. And we'll send you literature, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we would love to hear from you, Christian Worship Hour. And we'll also send you the new song. And then you can get started in your Christian life. And so I hope that you'll write. We'll be sure to write back to you. And just whatever you do, know this, that God loves you. And I don't care what your sin is and how desperate you've been, if you call in the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So now we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for all who've opened their heart to you. I pray for all of those who have loved you and drifted away and are coming back. And Lord, I'm praying for the shut-ins, and I'm praying for the lonely, and we're praying for the sick, and we're praying for the people that don't have no which way to turn, and we're praying for the young people with all the temptations before them, and they're tempted to do wrong, and they know they shouldn't do wrong, and help them to just take you into their heart, and then bless them, dear Jesus. Help them to know they're so important and they can carry on the kingdom. Maybe they'll be like Elisha and they're going to step up today and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to give you that address again, and especially those on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need your help. If you don't help us, we're going to just have to close up and go fishing, I guess. I don't know what we'll do. But we don't expect to close up. We think this is of God, and God owns all the money in the world, and we'll have all we need and then some. So thank you for your help. And now we're going to ask you all to pray for our service next week. And if the Lord tarries that long, we're going to be preaching and teaching about the wonderful Word of God. And we're going to be worshiping God together all over the world. We're all gathered at Jesus' feet. And someday we're going to be at the real thing in heaven and walk the golden stairs and see the holy city. And we'll all rejoice together. So God bless you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. How can you beat that?
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.